when I was a kid, when I was 12 or 13 years old, my grandparents came over for dinner to our house one night, actually for Thanksgiving dinner. And I had this grandmother who was like this wild character and her sisters who were like wilder than she was. I had an Aunt Bertie who insisted she'd invented fruit salad. I mean, just insane. And there was a tape recorder around my house. I had no interest in radio. I didn't know anything about anything. But I took the tape recorder and I recorded an interview with them. And then when I was 14, 15, 16, that whole generation died off. And when I was in my early 20s, I went looking for that tape and couldn't find it. One of the many, many reasons I wanted to start StoryCorps was to make sure that nobody made the dumb mistake that I had. So when you record a StoryCorps interview, it goes to the Library of Congress and it's safe forever.
We live in a time where you've got high-definition video, and you can instantly download a movie to your phone and watch it. Yet you have this really, I think, simple premise of two people who are generally not professional broadcasters.
Always not professional broadcasters.
Talking in on a two microphones to one another and bringing up a story. I don't know what the psychology is behind that, but why we as a people find something that simple so interesting.
I've been on the road a lot, and this is our 10th anniversary book, and I've been thinking a little bit about technology. I was in San Francisco with a lot of tech people. Certain things that technology, for all its wonders, can't teach us, certain human things. It is a very, very simple idea. It's two people in a booth and having these conversations. And many people think of them as, if I had 40 minutes left to live, what would I say to this person who means so much to me?
Do you have goals or aspirations of where you want this to go down the road?
When StoryCorps started, it started as a time-limited project. I had been making documentaries for public radio for years before that. And it was, you know, kind of a crazy idea. A year, 18 months after starting, I realized how powerful this thing was. And our dream is someday that StoryCorps will be a sustaining American institution.
Asking a little bit about the mechanics of the Library of Congress.
Sure.
All of the stories that have been done, are they accessible? Are they going through a process of coding them so people can act? I didn't find any information on that online.
So we've, as I said, we've done about 45,000 interviews, and probably 42,000 are at the library now. And all of the interviews go to the library, and all there's a tremendous amount of metadata attached to every interview. There's a photograph attached to every interview. There are summaries, and that all goes to the library. Over the next couple of years, we will make a digital archive available of the interviews. We have we see it as a sacred bond with people who participated in StoryCorps, and we have concerns about privacy and identity theft and that sort of stuff. So once we work through those issues, the entire archive will be public and people can go and listen.
And I wanted to shift to that and ask about your new book that's out. And you kind of have a theme with these books, right? And although I suppose, you know, as the ones I've listened to over the years, love is a pretty common theme, whether it's right up front or buried down a little bit. And that's the theme on this one, isn't it? Love.
Yeah. I mean, I think that what happens because of the nature of the StoryCorps interviews, people, the facilitators always say to people when they go in the booth, start by talking about what you've always wanted to talk about because 40 minutes goes by so fast.
Do you have all kinds of emotions in this book? Are there a few stories that are sad, if I want to put it that
way? Well, that's every, you know, the line on StoryCorps that I hear constantly, and this has become kind of a tidal wave in the last year, is this thing that every StoryCorps story makes you cry when you hear them on the radio. And most of them aren't sad. And most of the stories in this book aren't sad, although the whole middle section is stories of loss. So it's lost love. But yeah, I mean, I think that StoryCorps stories in general evoke a lot of emotions in people. And when you hear that kind of story, I think you're kind of, or read that kind of story, you're kind of walking on holy ground. And I think there's something that really triggers emotions in people. So yes, there are tears and laughter and all those kind of good emotions. But I think not from a, syrupy kind of place, but from a really authentic kind of place.